Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, bringing a full slate of entertainment to Farmington and San Juan County. The Rocky Horror Show, October 21st through the 31st at 7:30 p.m. The Farmington Civic Center, 200 West Arrington in downtown Farmington. Find out more online at fmtn.org/shows or at 505-599-1148. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock, it is Tuesday morning on KSJE, October 26, 2021. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE. 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County. 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado. Streaming everybody else on the planet from our website at ksje.com. That includes your smart speaker, by the way. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. It is streaming live this morning out to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us this morning, because today our focus is on Bloomfield, the Bloomfield School District, and the Bloomfield Bobcats. Superintendent Dr. Kim Mizell is my guest. I'll be speaking with her in the next few moments right here on KSJE. And then, of course, later on this hour, we'll check in with Amber Francisco over at the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter. She'll be telling us a bit about some of the pets available for adoption this week, including the dog you see on the screen right now. That's Snoopy, who's available this week at the shelter. Next hour, Mick Hess will take us roving with the yards. It's Tuesday, of course. Mick is continuing his series, Hope Not Hate, featuring music composed by people who were imprisoned during the Holocaust in World War II. This morning, Mick is featuring music from Rudolf Carrel and also Emile Gouet, coming up today on Roving with the Arts, Hope Not Hate, at 9:06 on KSJE. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to other social media platforms. And if you're a podcast person, check out our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts for free. You can subscribe, of course, on iTunes or Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Podbean, all those popular places. And now Facebook is hosting our podcasts as well, so you can check them out there in addition to all those other places. Let's talk about the weather, shall we? We always tell you that visual radio can take you places, so if you're watching us this morning, let's head up to Telluride, where it is a windy and rainy morning there as well as it is here. That's the wind and rain in Telluride. In fact, there's a few flurries of snow in the air this morning in Telluride, where it's 44 degrees. Winds are out of the west-southwest at 23 miles per hour. They are expecting a high today of about 42 degrees and a low tonight of 18, with maybe some accumulation of snow in the forecast. Here in the rest of the Four Corners area, in the Farmington area, we are expecting today a mostly cloudy day today, windy as well, with a temperature of 53 degrees this afternoon, with scattered showers off and on throughout the day. Windy overnight tonight with a low of 36, sunshine though tomorrow, the high 56 on Wednesday, sunny and 63 on Thursday, mid-60s, for Friday and Saturday, and partly sunny skies with a high of 64 on Sunday, Halloween. Overnight lows from the mid-30s near 40 degrees. And outside our studios here, windy and rainy in Farmington with a temperature currently of 44 degrees. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, and the winds are gusting at about 18 miles per hour. Well, let me turn to my guest, who is joining us this morning from her office in Bloomfield, the Bloomfield School Superintendent, Dr. Kim Mizell, my guest this morning. Dr. Mizell, good to have you back on KSJE. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us, and let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on in Bloomfield schools these days. Of course, the one thing we want to mention and remind everybody about, gosh, a week from today, is Election Day.
Right. I just want to encourage people to go out and vote.
There you go. There's a few school board races in Bloomfield, and city council and other races that affect the county as well. So a lot of things for folks to decide, no matter where they live.
Right, right. Just encourage people to participate in the voting process and be a part of the community in that sense.
Indeed, very true. And of course, early voting is underway right now, we know, until the 30th. And then, of course, Election Day polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at numerous locations around the county. So we do encourage folks to get out and vote. The other thing I know you are watching very carefully are some of the Bloomfield Bobcat athletic teams who are doing pretty well this season, aren't they?
Right. Our boys soccer team ended up first in district. They're headed down to the playoffs. And then our Bloomfield Bobcat football team has a game this Friday against Kirtland. And we're hoping they're making another run for the state championship. So we're experiencing some success. I always say we're small but mighty in Bloomfield.
That's true. Well, it looks like it, right? And congratulations to those athletes. And again, great to see the teams back on the field. I bet the kids are thrilled to be back out on the field as well.
Yes, we've been enjoying watching the games and watching the kids compete.
Sure. And of course, for folks in Bloomfield, they can always come out and support those teams, right? The spectators are available to go and watch the teams.
Yes, this Friday actually is a good night to come and watch them hopefully beat the Kirtland Broncos.
there you go. Well, good luck to them, and thank you for sharing that, and exciting to see the Bobcats moving forward and some of their attempts this year, so that's great. The other thing, too, I wanted to ask you a bit about are some assessments that you have done. Of course, everyone's concerned with student learning after the year and a half that we have had. And so what are you seeing after this first round of testing in the district?
Well, we have kind of triangulated data. So we have something called the iStations assessment, and then we have Imagine Learning assessments, which are in both ELA and math, English Language Arts and math. And then we have our own Common Formative Assessment, which assesses the standards that teachers teach in the first quarter. And the preliminary data is actually, you know, we were kind of cringing, wondering what was going to happen, and it's not as bad as we thought. So I feel like we did a good job last year with our remote learning and virtual learning in and out of brick and mortar, and then going back into virtual, which we're facing that again with the cases of COVID cases increasing in our area. Bloomfield is one area that does not have a high vaccination rate, so we struggle with cases anyway. But it's looking better than we thought, so that's a positive note for parents. I feel like that gives kudos to the parents that they did the best they could, and we're seeing the benefits of that. So we appreciate their help.
Very good. And you used a term there that I wanted to pick up on, if you don't mind, and that's the triangulation of data. Is that, explain a little bit about what that means and how you're using it. It's coming from different sources and you're looking at
right.
it from all over?
Right. So iStations is a state assessment. And then in Imagine Learning, we have their kind of pre-test that we give. And then we have our common formative assessment. So we're looking at all three and the percentage of proficiency. And so we have somewhere in the middle, there's a pretty close correlation to that it's the kids are doing okay. We still have a lot of work to do. I mean, we're always focusing on interventions and tutoring to catch kids up, but it's looking promising right now. So we're excited about that.
Got it. And all of those different assessments seem to be confirming what you're saying.
Right, right. So it's not just one data point that we're looking at. I want to make sure it's a balanced look, because one test can be extremely difficult and the kids do terrible on it, or another test is too easy. So you just want to make sure you have a good group of data points to look at to determine where the kids are. So we appreciate having all that information.
Right. And I know educators near and far in New Mexico and throughout the country and elsewhere, of course, have been concerned about that lost learning last year as students and teachers were face-to-face, remote, face-to-face, remote, online, all those different things that, students and teachers and parents were asked to do. And so it sounds to me that you're saying that for Bloomfield students that the lost learning maybe wasn't as severe as, you had first feared perhaps it would be.
That's right. So we're pleased.
Very good.
I was real happy when I saw that, the point data points that I was looking at. I was like, oh, I can take a breath.
Good. Well, that's good to hear. And does that cover like math, reading, and all those different areas? Is that something you can dig down into, or are there any areas that did surprise you?
Primarily, it was math and reading. Math, we have, those are the two that we really look at in our Common Formative Assessment. We do look at social studies and science. We do have assessments for those content areas, and that's primarily in middle school and high school. So we, you know, do drill down to the content area. But the preliminary results, we have math that we're struggling in, but I was really pleased when the schools were presenting, they have professional development aligned for the deficits that we're seeing in the assessment. So that means the teachers are going to get professional development to teach math maybe differently, or how to look at it or propose it to kids, having a different conversation. So it's well aligned. And so I think we'll gain some traction in the math area. So
I see. And I guess having these results so early in the school year gives your staff and teachers abilities to maybe kind of fine tune their instruction for the rest of the year to kind of pick up on maybe some of these areas that, students didn't perform as well, and maybe do more in math, and maybe to move those students along or get them back up to, level where they should be this year?
That's the goal. We do teacher action plans. We have a 7-week cycle. So we teach for 7 weeks, we assess, and then we reteach areas that we see that the kids didn't quite understand what was going on. And then we move on through the standards for the next quarter. But the same process happens each quarter to help students become closer to proficient or proficient. And so it's a process that we go through, and the main goal is definitely supporting the learning of the students and teacher behaviors that help the teachers to adjust and meet the needs of the kids.
Right. So. Very good. And you mentioned earlier, too, that that some of your schools have maybe had, classes have had to go back to virtual learning from time to time just because of the outbreak of, cases from time to time. Is that still something that is obviously happening in the district that you're dealing with?
Yes. We had to close our junior high for a week, and then we've had to close specific classrooms with COVID cases in the classrooms. We really try hard not to close the schools, but when it becomes an issue is when we have a staffing problem. And so that's when we, if we don't have the staff to teach the kids and provide recess and lunch and all the different duties that are required to monitor students, that's when we have to close. And so we're always on a high alert and monitoring the case numbers and keeping track of where we're at. We start really looking at it very closely when we reach the 3% mark. So when we have 3% of the population cases, then we really start taking it seriously and contemplating whether to close or not.
Understood. And that brings me to the next topic I wanted to discuss with you this morning, and that is a problem that Bloomfield schools are facing, like every other school district in the state and elsewhere, is recruitment and staffing shortages. So it's not enough that some of your staff maybe get sick, but you're starting off with a lesser amount of staff than you would ideally like to have employed at the district. Isn't that true?
That's right. We always have those positions that are hard to fill, which is usually a special ed position. Sometimes at the secondary, it can be math, science. Those areas are difficult to fill. Want to encourage anyone to apply. If you have a degree, you can get an alternative licensure, move through the process and become a teacher in the schools. We need substitutes and bus drivers. I had a mother in this morning, yesterday, and she said, I'm hearing all the frustration with no substitutes, so I decided I'd help out. And she said, I'd kind of get bored at home, so she's a stay-at-home mom. And I said, thank you so much for helping us, because we need the help.
Very good. And so these jobs are available right now with Bloomfield Schools?
Yes.
And talk to me a bit about the requirements for a substitute then. I would think that they're a bit less than being a fully certified teacher. And so can you go over some of those of what you're looking for?
Yeah, you have to do a background check, and then you have to go in and observe in several classrooms, get it signed off by a principal and myself, and then they are eligible to be placed in the schools. Sometimes we will allow them to select which schools they want to work in. You know, some people really like the elementary age and some like the secondary. So we want to encourage people to work where they're happiest. And we're actually looking at contracting with a substitute company that will be actually hiring our substitutes and anyone else, and they will give benefits as well as $100 a day pay for substitutes. And so we're excited about this new opportunity because they manage it and help us to locate people. They do a campaign to hire people. So we're looking forward to getting their support. So it's definitely a need, and we're struggling there. So same thing with bus drivers. What happened was a lot of the elderly people that were used to substitute for us or drove a bus chose not to come back out of concern with the COVID situation. So, and we had a lot of long-term substitutes that were in that category.
Got you. And that's what's left the openings now for you. And so it sounds like then you've got a lot of opening, or not a lot, but openings in both levels of schools, both elementary and secondary, then, that you could use substitutes in?
Yes.
Got you.
Yes, all the way around.
And for bus drivers, again, same story. There are openings on the bus routes too?
Right. Right now we're having to double up in our bus routes, and we're going to wear out the good ones we have. And so we're trying to anyone that's willing to get their CDL passenger license and to get the training, I think it's about 30 hours. So it takes some time to get bus drivers ready. And they have to do CPR training. There's a level of training that you have to have. But we do pay $15 an hour to our bus drivers. So,
gotcha. And those jobs are available now as well.
Right.
Very good. Dr. Mizell, I also wanted to ask you a bit about some of the COVID relief monies that have been flowing into school districts across the state and across the country, and just some of the ways that you are using those funds to help learning and help your students. Can you give us an update on any projects you have going on with those funds? It was substantial, wasn't it?
Yes. Bloomfield received close to $6 million over a three-year period of this new funding that
right.
just came through. And we have had meetings with stakeholders and teachers, principals, parents, and they've given their input. The school board has given their input. So what we're planning, we have quite a bit of money aligned with interventions and tutoring. We're going to have an after-school STEM program this summer. And that's a voluntary basis for teachers and students. So hopefully people will take advantage of that. And then we're also doing after-school tutoring all year this year with students that we have concerns about. So that's another lump sum of money that we're trying to accelerate the learning, but also fill in the holes and gaps for the students that are struggling.
Right.
And then we have plans for outdoor learning facilities. Every school requested that. So we ended up allocating $100,000 to each school to build their outdoor learning facility of their choice. So they have a little autonomy with it and to do something creative. We're also doing a health and wellness center at our junior high, which is a community-based center for families and students. We did hire with the funds a behavioral health person and a family liaison to help with attendance and connecting and supporting families. We have a high homeless rate in Bloomfield, so there's a high need. And at this wellness center, we will have food, clothing, computers if people need access to look for something or apply for jobs. We try to connect them with resources in the area to help them get through some difficult times. So those are just a few of the things that we're working on. And we're excited about having this. We also have HVAC systems that are old and we had to replace all those. So that's a good chunk of the money.
Those aren't cheap. I know that. You're right.
No, they're very expensive. So we're upgrading and taking care of our facilities and making sure that we're utilizing this money wisely.
Very good. Well, thank you. And it sounds like with that resource center you were talking about, that will provide for needs even beyond those of some of your students or families. It could also help those in the community maybe who aren't directly related to Bloomfield Schools. Is that, am I understanding that correctly, or is it just specifically for students and their families?
It's a community center. Our thing is, in Bloomfield, we really don't have like social workers. We have social workers in the school.
Sure.
But we don't have behavioral health people. We don't have a place to send people when they're struggling. And so this is a outreach type facility to help the community.
Very good. Well, that sounds like a great addition to the community and a needed one. So I think that's money well spent. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a bit as we come back to a little bit of the topic we talked about when we first started, which is kind of talking about the assessments and the learning of your students. It sounds like with the extra programs that you're providing, tutoring after school and some of these other things, that will also maybe help with some of this lost learning that folks are maybe a bit concerned about. As you were talking before, the first assessment of the school year shows that maybe that wasn't as severe as first thought, but with these other efforts are going to maybe help push that along even more so, won't they?
Yes. The state is also pushing real hard with literacy programs. They have something called the letters that all of our elementary teachers are going through. It's very challenging for them because they have to meet like twice a month in the afternoon. A lot of professional development's happening to kind of give an infusion of support for the challenges that we're faced with as far as teaching kids how to read. We applied for some additional funding, and each school received about $10,000. Nabaani actually received $200,000. So they will be utilizing those funds to support the learning of kids as well, and addressing the needs in the schools. And so all this data really helps us narrow down what we need to do. And I'm very pleased to say that we're well aligned with our professional development, what needs to happen in the school, and the principals are very in tune to the student data and what the students are, how they're successful and how they're struggling. So it's a good alignment.
Right. And for parents maybe who are listening to us or watching us this morning, Dr. Mizell, because we all know that students don't all learn at the same rate, and some maybe excel and understand concepts better than others in certain subjects, and the opposite is true for other students. So if parents are watching or guardians are watching and they're concerned about their student and how well they're doing in school and maybe want to make sure their student is able to take advantage of some of these things, is there anything that the parent or guardian can do to reach out to the schools, or does some of this intervention need to come from the school to the family? Which direction?
It works both ways.
Does it?
Okay, so yes. The teachers will probably do initial contact with them or recommend after school tutoring. Also, if a parent has concerns, he or she can notify the teacher, and we can connect them with supports. Our parent teacher conferences are coming up next Friday. No, wait.
Early November?
Early November.
Okay.
It's on Friday. November 12th.
Okay.
I just put that together. But it's the communication process and the the two-way dialogue with your teacher, and even the principal, if you need support, they can help as well. So we are very aware of what is going on out in our community and also with the kids, and we're trying to do the best for them.
Right. And I'm sure you would agree that you don't want any kids to fall through the cracks, and you want to make sure parents are aware of all the support that you can provide through the schools. If they see a problem or think there's a problem, they could reach out.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Well, Dr. Mizell, we are running out of time, but I always appreciate your time to spend with me every month to update the community on what's going on with Bloomfield Schools. Good luck to the Bobcat football team.
Thank you. Go Bobcats.
There you go. have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again in November.
All right. You have a good one.
You too. Thank you very much. That is Bloomfield School Superintendent Dr. Kim Mizell, my guest this morning, talking with me here on KSJE. Back with more, of course, coming up in just a moment. The time is 8:35. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.